Imagine this. You're leading a thriving company. Profits are strong, your team is motivated, growth is steady. Then one morning, you open your favorite business magazine, and there it is. A new startup, flashy branding, viral marketing, awards pouring in. Suddenly, even though nothing has changed in your own business, you feel it. A tightening in your chest, a whisper in your mind. We're falling behind. And you're tempted to do something drastic. Launch a rushed product, buy a competitor, slash prices. But is it strategy or status anxiety hijacking your brain?
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Welcome back to this week's episode of The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. And today, we're continuing our special edition series, Primal Instincts, Hidden Forces Behind Global Power Games. In episode 1, we explored dominance signaling. In episode 2, we tackled the fairness instinct. And now, in part 3, we dive into the silent saboteur behind many leadership disasters, status anxiety. Stick with me until the end, because you'll learn why your brain cares more about relative success than absolute success. How status fear triggered some of history's worst decisions. And 3 strategies to outsmart status traps and lead stronger. All right, let's dive in. Evolution didn't just wire us to survive. It wired us to compete for rank and through that survive. Bach van Vugt and Ronald Jr. in 2014 showed that in ancestral environments, higher status individuals had better access to food, better mating opportunities, better protection from predators. Low status individuals, they ate last, they were pushed aside. Sometimes they didn't survive. So it's no wonder that today, even when we are thriving, seeing someone else succeed can trigger panic. Status isn't about how well you're doing, it's about how well you're doing relative to others. This deep emotional comparison engine runs in the background of every leadership decision you make. Let's look at 2 examples where status anxiety shaped major decisions and left a trail of destruction. First, the Cold War arms race. After World War II, the United States and the Soviet Union entered a terrifying competition for dominance. Both sides had nuclear weapons, enough to destroy the world several times over. Yet, they keep building more. More missiles, more submarines, more warheads. Why? Because each side feared appearing weaker. It wasn't about real security anymore. It was about relative power. No leader wanted to blink first. And so trillions of dollars were spent. Millions lived under the shadow of nuclear annihilation. All because status anxiety ran the show. Second, let's talk about Kodak's fall. In 1975, an engineer at Kodak invented the first digital camera. You'd think they'd race to market, right? Wrong. Kodak executives, proud of their dominance in film, feared that digital would cannibalize their existing business and tarnish their prestigious brand. They buried the innovation. Meanwhile, Sony, Canon, and others moved ahead. By the early 2000s, Kodak, once one of the most admired companies worldwide, filed for bankruptcy because status anxiety blinded them. Protecting yesterday's prestige cost them tomorrow's success. You might think you're immune, you're rational, strategic, disciplined, but status anxiety is subtle. It shows up as rushing into bad deals, launching unprepared products, overreacting to rivals, or just feeling a bit bad or threatened or concerned that somebody you somehow seem to measure yourself against just got a real nice promotion. It has nothing to do with you. You were not running for the same job. That's what your rational perspective identifies correctly. But why then are you irritated? And often leaders only realize it after the damage is done. So what can you do about it? Here are 3 leadership strategies to beat status anxiety. First, separate ego from outcomes. Whenever you feel the urge to act quickly after a competitor's move, ask yourself, Is this driven by real strategic necessity, or is it about preserving my image in front of others or in front of myself? If it's ego talking, step back. One of Jeff Bezos' mantras at Amazon was, focus on customers, not competitors. Real strength isn't reacting to noise, it's staying anchored to the mission and value. Second, reframe competition as opportunity. Instead of fearing competitors, study them. What are they doing well? What are they missing? How can their success sharpen your focus? Great leaders use competition to refine strategy, not to launch emotional counterattacks. Remember, the goal isn't to look better, it's to be better. The company that thinks long-term wins. And thirdly, create your own status game. One of the most powerful moves in leadership is to define success on your own terms. If you measure yourself by someone else's scoreboard, you always feel behind. But if you define victory around your values, your mission, your customers, you stay in control. Simon Sinek in The Infinite Game argues that leaders who play finite games, who obsess over quarterly numbers or quick wins, burn out. Leaders who play infinite games, who think long-term and build enduring value, thrive. So, own your narrative. Build your own race. And let others exhaust themselves chasing vanity trophies. So, let's summarize. Status anxiety is a silent killer of leadership. It whispers, you're falling behind, everyone's watching, you must act now. But reacting emotionally to rivals leads to wasted resources, strategic blunders, self-inflicted wounds. Anchor yourself to outcomes, not ego. See competitors as teachers, not threats. Define success on your terms. Because today's leadership isn't about looking bigger or louder. It's about thinking smarter and playing the long game. All right, that's it for today's episode. If you found this valuable, subscribe, rate, and share with anyone passionate about leadership. And if you want to get deeper, check out my book, The Mammoth in the Room. It's a practical guide for how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths to drive outstanding business results. And it does that in three sections, across people, strategy, and implementation. Next week, we wrap up our Primal Instinct series with the final and maybe the most powerful episode. We talk about alliances, why nature favors coalition builders, and why smart leaders win by partnering, not posturing. Trust me, you don't want to miss this one. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. Nicholas Bocconi, the mammoth in the room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.